Lack of nurturing and attention when young. Feeling isolated, detached from parents and family. Outer facade of having it all together to hide inner disintegration. Seek to avoid rejection and abandonment at all costs. Afraid to trust anyone in any relationship. Sense of worthlessness, intense need to control self, others, or circumstances. Continual questionings of values and lifestyle. Refusal to acknowledge existence of problems, defining wants as needs. And then there's anger traits, which I don't like to read because a lot of them apply to me. I become impatient easily when things do not go according to my plans. I tend to have critical thoughts towards others who don't agree with my opinions. When I am displeased with someone, I may shut down any communication with them or withdraw entirely. I get annoyed easily when friends or family do not appear sensitive to my needs. When talking about a controversial topic, the tone of my voice is likely to become louder, more assertive. I do not easily forget when someone does me wrong. So, I know that even though I never struggled with drugs and alcohol, I do struggle with negativity, low self-esteem, and other day-to-day issues like gossip and yelling at my kids. I'm a Christian. I've been saved and following the Lord for a while now, but I still struggle with things. The first step is to recognize there are areas in your life that need to be changed. I did. I knew I had baggage in my life that kept me from fulfilling God's purpose for me. And I brought them to the foot of the cross. I said, God, I struggle with this and I need help. But the next day, guess what? I found myself doing it again. Yelling at my kids over something trivial. Gossiping about family members and so on. While God does deliver some of us instantaneously, others have to do our part. Like Pastor has said, you know, we have to show God how much we want to be like Him by actively seeking a greater relationship with Him. Well, I'm doing my part now. I'm working the 12 steps. I'm taking inventory of my life, and I'm asking God to reveal anything in me that hinders me from serving Him and feeling and, you know, being close to Him. It's amazing the freedom that Celebrate Recovery has brought to me. For instance, that problem with gossip I said I just couldn't get rid of. Well, through working these steps and, you know, doing the program, God revealed to me the root of the problem. You see, my parents were divorced when I was very young, and almost every time I was around my dad, he talked bad about my mom. Well, as a child, I felt like I just had to take it, you know. You have to sit there and authority figure, you listen to what they're saying. But then I'd go home and tell my mom everything bad that he said. So it was like that, you know, that carried over to my adulthood. I felt like if someone's gossiping or saying something bad, I just have to listen to it and then, you know, go tell somebody else. Well, just staying away from gossip wasn't enough for me. Just like some people staying away from drugs and alcohol, that's not enough. I didn't want treatment for the symptom. I wanted the cure. Do you want the cure? I'm asking you guys as a church, do you want the cure from the problems you have in life? If you go to the doctor with a broken bone, do you just want a pain pill or do you want the bone set? Do you want a temporary fix or do you want healing in your life? Well, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is the cure to the stuff that you are struggling with. But you have to take that first step. Step out of your denial into God's grace. Come to Celebrate Recovery this Friday, even if you're not sure what you struggle with. Or if you think that there's no hope for you, there is always hope. And as I share my testimony, you'll see how Celebrate Recovery has given me hope. That was just the prelude. Sorry. Now it's time for the real thing. All right. What Celebrate Recovery has done for me. Hi, my name's Amanda, and I'm a believer who struggles with codependency and enabling. I am the small group leader for the codependent enabling group here at Celebrate Recovery at Believers, and I'm also the training coach. While some may say that I have been a crucial part of CR since I have supported and been involved in it since its inception in October of last year, the truth is CR has been a crucial part of my life. The way I feel is that rather than just being a blessing to this ministry, CR has been a blessing to me. Starting down this journey, a loved one and I were serving together in the ministry as small group leaders and founders, this person with a chemical dependency group and I with the codependent enabling group. As this family member began to withdraw from me, church, Celebrate Recovery, and God, and move back into their addiction 8 months ago, I more clearly than ever was able to see the purpose and higher calling of this ministry. You see, as someone with codependent and enabling tendencies, my first reaction is to rescue a family member from the trouble that they've caused. Isn't that what a good Christian's called to do? Put others first, even if it harms yourself. Well, CR has helped me to see clearly how causing someone to not suffer the consequences of their actions usually never helps them in the long run, but also that God does not want me to suffer in that way. Christians are called to love your neighbor as yourself, which means I have to love myself first and not allow myself to be manipulated or used in the name of helping someone. CR's material has taught me so much, but the people are the ones who make the difference. You see, I am being ministered to and encouraged by the same people that I have encouraged at one time or another. Pastor David has even said that he would like to see people in all the church's small groups make connections with each other, like the people at Celebrate Recovery do. We truly hold each other up in good times and bad times. When I have one of those days, it seems like I have no one who understands. I can call up one of my accountability partners for encouragement and just someone to listen. When I have one of those days that I just want to give up, quit going to church or work or whatever, those are the days that I get a call from another accountability partner to ask me, hey, are you going to be at church tonight? And Jesus is using me to set an example to others. You can make it through this. I will never leave you. You see, I've been through my family members' drug addiction before, but I've never had the peace and hope and sanity like I have now. I can look at Celebrate Recovery's 8 principles and 12 steps, and it gives me hope. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And he hasn't. I know God didn't cause this to happen. He didn't cause my loved one to relapse, and he knew it would happen. So that's why he put me here, because I need Celebrate Recovery. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth is, you guys really want to know the truth this morning? The truth is, we are all in recovery. We are all in recovery from being heathens. Heathens, how do you say that? We're in recovery from our flesh and sin nature. We will never be perfect until the day that we see Jesus, and therefore that we all need to work on our hurts, habits, and hang-ups in our lives. My loved one continued to deny their drug use until I finally had evidence of it in my hand. Well, they no longer denied it at that point, which is the first lesson Celebrate Recovery teaches you. Step out of your denial into God's grace. Next, this person tried to say they could control their drug use and stop any time, which is Celebrate Recovery's second lesson, powerless. That brings me to it. Admitting that you are powerless to control your tendency to do the wrong thing and your life has become unmanageable. As for me, seeing the process, knowing what to expect, brings me to the third lesson, which is hope. I can, through Jesus Christ and Celebrate Recovery, have hope. Hope in Jesus that no matter what happens in this life, God will never leave me or forsake me, and he will see me through. I choose Jesus, and I will stay in God's arms and stand upon verses like Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I know God has great plans for my future, and through the strength that I have found in Jesus, through Celebrate Recovery, I have stepped aside now, and God, who is not willing that any should perish, can work on my family member without me being in the way. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. Now, this is a young lady who does not have a drug or alcohol problem, but has a loved one who has one. In fact, what she has shared with you this morning is not something that she has gone through. It's something that she is presently going through right now. And the principles, which are, we call them principles or steps, they're biblical principles, or what they are. And they're the very things that you use to sustain you. Some people say, well, you just need to pray about it. Well, sometimes you have to have some tools. Yes, you pray about it. Prayer is a tool, but there are steps that you take. You can be your own worst enemy if you're not careful. So there are some steps that you can take, some tools that you can be given to help with your hurts, habits, and hang-ups and overcome those things. See, here's the neat thing. Nobody can really tell you what to do or how to be or how to act. That's not my job. I don't tell you, you can't do this or you can't do that. It's my job to tell you that you shouldn't do this or that, but you have to choose. But you live with the consequences of the things that you choose in your life. And we want to be able to put tools in people's hands, either through Celebrate Recovery, the Flow Program, the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, what we do through our children's ministries. All of the things that we do in this church is designed to get tools in the hands of people, principles that they can deal with the pressures and the issues of their life. Now, granted, when you see alcohol and drugs enter the picture, it really enhances all of the other problems and magnifies the other problems. But you know, we all have difficulties. We all have tendencies that are not godly. We all have things in our life that we have to deal with. But it's up to you to deal with it. It's not my job to deal with you to deal with it. It's my job to tell you about it, but it's your job to choose it and to deal with it. The number two graduate, would you come on up here? I'm going to let her tell you who she is. And now, one thing you notice, they're reading their testimonies. This is something that Celebrate Recovery requires them to do, is to read. They spend a lot of time putting their testimonies together. A lot of prayer, a lot of work. And this is something that Crystal has them to do, and this is something also that Celebrate Recovery has them to do. Hi.
Hey.
You're not nervous today, are you?
Yes, I am.
She's nervous. Is that all right? I mean, let's take the brakes off. It's okay if she's nervous.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alexia, and I'm a believer, and I stand here today to bring honor and glory to Jesus' name for the power that He has worked through my life to bring me deliverance in my life. And so I'm here. Pastor asked me to give my testimony. And anything that brings glory and honor to the Lord, I choose to do it today. Okay, I will start by saying my name is Alexia. And I'm a believer who has struggled with drug addiction, rebellion, codependency, inferiority, fears, and insecurities. I used to live a life to please myself. I was very selfish. I was a very sensual person. I lived by what felt good to me in my flesh. I was very rebellious, hard-headed, and stubborn. I thought that it should be all about me, and most of the time it was, no matter how great the cost or who I hurt along the way. I resisted all authority. It was my way or the highway. If I was told that I couldn't do something, I would show you just how good I could do it. May I say once again that I was very rebellious and defiant, which is where it usually starts in children. Now that I look back on it, I had a very disrespectful attitude. I didn't think that my mother or anyone else for that matter knew what they were talking about. Or maybe I just thought that I needed to learn for myself the hard way. Now I wish that I would have listened and my life would have been a lot easier with less pain, heartache, failures, and disappointments. I chose drugs and relationships over my children repeatedly, and I have carried a lot of shame and guilt over the years for being so selfish. I was charged with endangering the welfare of a minor in March 2005, and I was sentenced to drug court. I still couldn't keep it together as hard as I tried. I was feeling so overwhelmed with a full-time job, drug court classes, community service work daily, court weekly, and calling in daily to see if it was my color to submit to a drug screen, not to mention being a full-time mother, along with school activities and all that goes along with being a mom. So I began to use again to be able to get it all done, or that was my excuse. Finally, when it all came to a head and I failed a drug test at my place of employment, I was grateful because I couldn't do it anymore. I was tired of pretending to have it all together when really I was a mess on the inside and I was only holding on by a thread. I went to jail on November 1, 2005. I remained in county jail until May 2006 when I was transported to Newport to begin my two-year prison sentence. I got released from prison on 9/11. What a day to be set free. I purpose to live for Jesus and follow Him for the rest of my days, to let others see His overcoming power and glory in and through my life. I was attending church regularly and adjusting back into society after being gone for 2 years. I had left my old life behind me and all the people that went along with that life, and I began to walk in my new way of life. I still had a strong desire to have a mate in life, and I began to pray for my desire and wait on God to send me His answer. A man that I had grown up with and I had dated twice before came in the store where I worked and asked me if he could take me out. I was reluctant, and I answered, "I don't know if I'm ready for all that." He persisted until he persuaded me. I thought that he was God's answer to my prayer. All was great, or so I thought. Keep in mind that Satan can disguise himself by answering a prayer, and we will think that it is God when it really isn't, and it will be a trap set to destroy us. That is why it is important that we have discernment and know God's word. You see, this man was married, but he had been separated from his wife for 3 years, and after we got together, he filed for divorce. I should have known and seen that it is not in God's nature or will to send me a married man, but I was so caught up in my own selfish wants and desires that I couldn't see it at the time, and I justified it to others when they tried to talk to me about it. I thought that this was it and I would live happily ever after until it all came crashing down around me. He started drinking again after being clean and sober for 3 months, and he started cheating on me. I tried to hang in there, but it really got hard until one day I thought the only way to keep him was to join him. I had chosen the creation above the Creator, and there would be consequences to come. You see, God forgives us if we ask, but sometimes there are still irreversible consequences that we have to deal with and face. But praise God that Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose." So we split up, and I went wild for a short time until God decided to intervene or take His hand off me, whichever way you want to look at it. And He allowed me to have to choose to come back to Him or to stay on the road of destruction that I was on. Praise God that I came to my senses and saw the light at the end of the tunnel that I had gotten myself into. I got a DWI, and I was told that I had to complete a Christian treatment program because I had shared my history, and they knew that God was the only one who could restore me. This is when I found Luke 4:18. I called and talked with Crystal, and I knew immediately that this is where I needed to be, and once again, God came through for me. I guess this will be the perfect place to tell you that the verse I stand on is Philippians 1:6. It's being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God started something in me when He saved me and He set me free, and He refuses to leave me the way I am. He has greater hopes and plans for me, and I believe that I've always known that to an extent, but I am just now really letting it sink in and become a part of me. You see, during all these times of trying to get it together and do the right thing and truly be able to live for God and surrender my life to Him fully, I always felt like I must not have the power to be able to carry it out because I always seemed to fall short. Now I see that it was just my flesh warring against my spirit. I didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. All I ever knew to do was to do what felt good and what my body wanted. I didn't realize that I was supposed to deny my flesh. And in denying my flesh, I would be submitting to the Spirit within me. See, Paul tells us in Romans 7:14-25, that our flesh wars against our spirit. And what I wanted to do, I did not do. But what I hated, that I did. This, in a nutshell, describes how my life has been. Paul goes on to say that we have the desire to do what is good, but I could not carry it out. For what I did was not the good I wanted to do. No, the evil I did not want to do, this I kept on doing. So to sum it all up, my flesh has been warring against the spirit, and now I'm learning to be spirit-led and not remain in bondage and slavery to my flesh and its sinful desires. Praise God. So this is where I've struggled especially hard in the past, because I knew the truth and I failed to walk and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made me free, and to be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage to sin. That's Galatians 5:1. I am also reminded where the Word tells me to stop being so hard on myself, because God has forgiven me. And according to Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I am learning to stand confidently in who Christ says that I am, and not on what the world says or even who Satan tries to tell me that I am. It is through Christ and His blood that I am set free, and I fully intend to have faith, confidence, and boldness in His sacrifice for me, and walk with my head held high because of who I am in Him, and because I am a King's kid. And I have joy and a bubbly feeling inside of me when I think of who God says that I am and how He sees me. I will look past what I see to what God sees, and that is when I activate my faith and I find true, lasting freedom. I am special, and I am somebody today in Christ, and to Him be all the glory. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Ho, 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 ho. Now tell us what's happened since you graduated.
Since I've graduated, the Lord has just really, He's really blessed me. You know, whenever we seek Him, we put Him first. And we look to Him and we're faithful and obedient to Him. He has blessed me with a job, with a home, my children back, and my awesome support team, Celebrate Recovery that loves me, this church. And He's just really blessed me, and I praise Him today for that.
Cool. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Wow. I did not... Now, that's her abbreviated testimony. She's got one. Did y'all see her... Her testimony that was in the paper the other day. You saw that? That's the same girl right there. Her other one is a long one. And, it's awesome. I mean, some of the things that she shares. And, The whole time she was going through Luke 4:18, I talked to her, but I didn't really know her story. And when I heard her story, I was overwhelmed by what she had been through and what God had done in her life. I am so glad that we chose to do CR in this church. And I'm so glad that Aaron and Crystal decided to choose this as their home church and to bring these girls into our church and let us be a part of their recovery process. And one thing that I like about y'all, I mean, these are not, you know, we say Luke 4:18, they're part of our church. And you make them part of our church. We refer to them a lot as, you know, them, but they're us. And they're no different than we are. They're no different than we are. They just had some bigger problems than some of us have had. But the thing that's so neat is to see how God works through things that almost look impossible and turns things around. And He works what the enemy designs to kill, steal, and destroy, and He makes it into something that is totally awesome. Totally awesome. We have the first graduate, come on up here, of Luke 4:18. And are you nervous too? Just a little?
Yeah.
This is the first one that I went to and cried. Seems like I do a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Good morning. Okay. Let me breathe for a second. My name is Tanya, and I'm a believer who struggles with drug addiction, rebellion, sexual issues, and codependency. Growing up for me was quite normal until my parents' divorce. My parents had many issues of unforgiveness, mistrust, and bitterness themselves, which in turn led me to struggle with some of the same issues. My feeling of abandonment from both parents had a big effect on me. Even though my mother was there for me physically, I never really felt like that she was there. Keep in mind, because of unresolved issues that she and my dad had, that she never was really able to just let go and be there for me emotionally. And because of the same unresolved issues, I never allowed my father to be there for me either. So during grammar school, I achieved and excelled at any and everything I did to get the love and attention that I didn't get at home. During my junior high years, I began to rebel against my mom, skipping school, having sex, drinking, and smoking. These years of my life would begin my road to hell, but not limit it to stops and detours along the way. I graduated from high school in 1997 and made the decision just to get away, to start being the responsible adult. I moved to Raymond, Mississippi to begin college. I met my husband Nathan there, and to date we have been married for 9.5 years. I have 2 boys. Austin is 9 and Aiden is 5. Even though I thought I found everything in this man, Nathan, I found nothing. Neither of us at this point in our lives knew how to love. We, as newlyweds, couldn't give each other what we didn't have. 1 Corinthians 13 explains what love is, and it also says that if we have not love, we have nothing. So we both had nothing. We had nothing to give or nothing to gain. Nathan and I lived a lifestyle of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Nathan's musical abilities allowed him to have many paying jobs as a musician, but for me, I spent many endless nights of worry and loneliness. We would switch roles in our marriage many times. For example, one of us would be the responsible working spouse while the other partied and hung out with friends. This cycle would just go on for years. In 2001, Nathan's brother, my brother-in-law Justin, committed suicide. He was the brother that I never had and always wanted. Sorry. Okay. He was such an awesome young man, with great talents, ideas, and a passion for life, until one day it was just too much and he took his own life. For me, I believe this tragedy became my need to escape the pain of reality, and my addiction to cocaine went from fun and weekend partying to I had to have it. Eventually, I began going places I didn't belong, hanging around people that I shouldn't, and sacrificing my morals just to get what I wanted. Several years into it, I also began using IV drugs. Dilaudid, Oxycontin, and morphine were my best friends, my companions, and my life. I used to live and lived to use. And it sounds so cliche, but it's so true. During the next 8 years of my life, I was commended to two secular rehabs, one being the most expensive in the state of Mississippi, and the other probably one of the cheapest. During this time, I was also picked up and dropped off on my mother's front porch in Bethesda, Arkansas, with only a suitcase full of clothes. My family and my husband had had enough, but I hadn't. After each time of getting sober and learning just to talk the talk, I was able to do good for a while, but then it was only a matter of months before I would end up lying, cheating, and stealing to get what I wanted yet again. So this past year, 2008, I could no longer get by or survive the drug world with my lies and schemes. Weighing only 90 pounds, I had lost my house, my car, my husband, my children, myself, my sanity, and my soul. I had sold out. I began stealing from anyone and everyone to get high. I would even steal from my job, going as far as to burglarize the place where I used to work. I broke in and stole money to pay for drugs. Then I left the state scared that I would get caught. After about 2.5 weeks of being on the run, I drove back to Mississippi to turn myself in for commercial burglary. I sat in Rankin County Jail in Rankin, Mississippi for exactly 60 days. On the 60th day, my family members bonded me out on a $50,000 bond reduced and brought me to Batesville, Arkansas. This was the first time in my life to get caught by the police and suffer major consequences. I was charged with 2 counts of commercial burglary, facing a minimum of 7 years per count. But by the grace of God, I had another chance. The Lord made a way for me. It was only 7 days from the day that I spoke to Crystal, the director of Luke 418, until I was an official resident at the ministry. And as you guys know, one of the requirements at the ministry is to pick out a verse that stands out or speaks to you. And the verse that I stood on while I was there was John 8:31-32. And it's Jesus speaking here. And he says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So at first, just being honest and telling the truth did make me free. But ultimately, abiding, like living and persisting in the word, the truth daily, did make me free. For instance, I'm now free from hepatitis C. Because of my IV drug use in 2006, I tested positive for hepatitis C. In January 2009, and during my stay at Luke 418 Ministries, I was told I no longer have it. The doctors call it self-cure, but I call it miracle healing. I believe by faith I would be healed, and I was. Praise God. I'm also free from bondage, sin, anger, resentment, self, bitterness, and unforgiveness. So, now I could just look up and smile from within. For example, I have the confidence and courage just to stand here and share who I was and who I am now. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go." And since I've graduated, I stood on that promise because He has been with me wherever I went because He lives in me. Fear and discouragement are two of the tools that Satan tries very hard to get me down. But again, I praise God for His promise. So after graduating from Luke 418 in May, the Lord has opened many doors for me. For example, I'm working again in a salon where I can be myself, be trusted, and ultimately feel my passion to do hair. Also, the relationship that I have with my two boys is something to be cherished. So just only a couple of weeks after being the boys being in Arkansas or being back with me, Aiden, my five-year-old, just gently placed his hands on my cheeks and said, "I love this new mom." Sorry. So, just what an honor and privilege to be the light of Jesus to someone and something so precious. And he's right. I am a new mom. But first, I will admit that since I've graduated, I have fallen short in some areas. 7 months of being bathed and washed in the Word daily was quite an experience. But the true test is to continue what we did for the rest of our lives. Pastor said a few weeks ago, "Do nothing and see what happens. Eventually, your life will begin in chaos." So for me, it wasn't just that I was doing nothing. I just wasn't putting God first. So I guess that would be nothing, right?
Anyway, Austin Aiden, my job, my finances, and also friendships came first. Then slowly, I saw my life leading towards chaos. So again, the Lord stopped me dead in my tracks, and I've had the opportunity to get to the root and not to return to the old behavior and just flee from the devil. So now I'll conclude with the scripture that the Lord gave me. It's James 4, 7, and 8, and 10. Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And then humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So I know I can't. Wait, so I know I can do nothing. So I have begun and can do anything if I put Jesus first. So I was standing here to tell you all that there have been areas where our falling short is hard, but his word says that he will lift me up, and that he has. So thank God for his forgiveness and truth.
Amen.
Thank you.
Aww. Stay right here. What does a drug addict look like? I mean, what's our mental perception of what a drug addict looks like? Did she ever look like she was a drug addict? Does she look like somebody that
break in somewhere
and steal stuff and do all of that kind of stuff? So you don't know the people that you meet, where they are, what they're doing. We usually think of a drug addict like a Skid Row bum, but they're not. They're people that you work with every day. They're people that you see every day that on the outside all looks well, but on the inside they're full of dead men's bones. And we got a big job and a big ministry to do in this area. And, you know, this inspires me. These testimonies inspire me. We've got to do more. We got to reach more. We got to see more. Because there are people who need to be rescued. One of the things that she said that really jumped out at me is about her childhood. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have as parents today is to give our kids not stuff, but what they need in here that's going to make a difference in their life. We need strong families. Where could she be today if she had had that as a child? What could she have avoided if she had been given the love, the discipline, the things that she needed? She might have avoided a whole lot of this. And here we are sitting here today as parents of children in our children's church over here. Here we are, and we don't realize that our walk with God or our lack of a walk with God directly affects our children and our grandchildren. We need to really take to heart who we are and what we are. One thing I want to tell you, always run to God. Never run from God. You always run to God. Amen. Let's give these girls a good hand. Oh. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I want us to pray. I don't know where you are. I may be talking to some folks that have some issues. They may not be drugs. They might be. They may be alcohol. They may not be. Could be a hurt, a habit, or hang up. It may be anger. It could be inferiority. But something that has robbed you of your potential. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans. They're plans for a future. But these things that we leave undealt with in our lives can devastate us and keep us from realizing God-given potential. And it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's where it starts. Anything of eternal value begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we have nothing. We are nothing. Sometimes we struggle with Jesus. Just keeping it real. We as Christians who follow God, we struggle sometimes even having Jesus in our life. What chance do people have in their lives who do not have a relationship with Jesus? But you can have one today if you don't. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, thank you so much for these who have shared these testimonies. And Lord God, I just look forward when we can share these with more people. And we can see fruit that's even greater than what we've already seen. Thank you for everybody here today that's heard these words. And Lord, I pray for people here today who hide behind masks of phony relationships, masks that smile and say everything's okay, when on the inside there's pain and there's hurt. Lord God, thank you for things that have been shared today that can open the doors for real healing. Not superficial stuff, but real healing. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed for just a moment. You know, if you're here today, I don't know where you are with your relationship with Jesus. I don't know that you've ever prayed to ask Him into your life. And that's just the beginning. He don't want to just come into your life. He wants to become your life. That's what He wants to do. He don't want to be a part. He wants to be your life. And I don't know if you've done that today or not, but we want to give this opportunity. We're not going to ask anybody to stand up or come up here or do anything. We'll just all pray a prayer together. But if you'd like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, just slip a hand up and say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I need to be saved today. Is there anybody? We're not going to embarrass you. I promise we won't embarrass you. All right. Let's say this then. Maybe you've realized that there are areas of your life as a believer that's really causing you to struggle. You say, I got some things I want to commit to the Lord today. Hands up. I just got things I need to commit to the Lord today. Yeah, okay. Everywhere. There's hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. I want to pray. And as I do, I want you to release this to the Lord. And I want you to receive His healing. See, here's the thing where Adam messed up. When Adam sinned in the garden, he disobeyed God. And that's something that we've all done. We've all missed it. We've all disobeyed God. But the very worst thing he did is when the presence of God came into the garden, he ran from it. And what he should have done is run to it. And I see this happen in lots of Christians' lives, that when we mess up, we build walls and hide behind those walls. When what we need to do is just be open and honest and tell God the truth, because He already knows it, and we need to run to Him and fall on His mercy. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the honesty of hearts here today. That there are issues in their lives that cause us all to stumble. There's hurts. I sense that there's hurts here today. They're just tremendous disappointment and hurts. Maybe because of relationships. Maybe because of some kind of disappointment or abuse in our lives. But I sense that there's tremendous hurt here today. Lord God, I ask You by Your Spirit to minister to that hurt, to that particular individual who has tremendous hurt in their lives today. In Jesus' name. Lord, there are those here today who have hang-ups and habits that keep them from being what they need to be. Lord, there's attitudes, judgmentalism, critical, critical hearts, critical tongues. Lord, forgive us for being unchristlike, for being unkind. Bring your healing into our lives as we confess these and release these to you today. And we thank you in Jesus' name for your love. Thank you today for your love. Thank you that we can run to you and we can be whole. We praise you and we thank you today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen.